Tonight we are going to break down a song, and I love to do this. Y'all know I do this quite often in our studies. I want us to consider the words of the song, "My Jesus, I Love Thee." And the best way to do that is to simply sing the song. So let's sing this song to help us prepare our minds for our study tonight. My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art Thou. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love Thee because Thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love Thee for wearing the thorns on Thy brow. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore Thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with the glittering crown on my brow. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Thank you. This is a beautiful song. It's a relatively short song, but I believe that it is filled with things that can help us with our love for God, with our love for each other, and about ourselves, and tell us about sin and how we need to deal with it each day. So I want to go through each verse, and let's talk about certain things about each verse of this particular song. First of all, it talks about sin. It talks about the folly of sin. First verse says, "For thee all the follies of sin I resign." In other words, I'm going to give it up. Sin should not be important in the life of a Christian. In fact, we should do everything that we possibly can to avoid sin within our lives. Now, if you look up the word folly, you'll find that the word folly means lack of good sense. Now, I don't have to tell you this, but I'm going to anyway. When I was growing up, my daddy loved to tell me that I didn't have any sense. And when he would say that, he was absolutely right, because I had just done something that was kind of senseless, you know, and foolish. So when you look up the word folly, it means lack of good sense. It means foolish and unprofitable. And, you know, we have an example of that in the Bible, and this, of course, is that of the prodigal son. Now, Luke chapter 15, we know the story that he came to his father wanting to leave, taking what was his, and that's exactly what he did, and he went out into what the Bible called the far country. and he wasted everything that he had. But we read in verse 17 that he came to himself. In other words, he woke up. He realized the folly of what he had done. He realized the senselessness of what he had done. You know, Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 15 and 21, folly is joy to him who lacks sense, but a man of understanding walks straight. Now, I think we would all agree that what the prodigal son did would indeed be something that we would consider senseless. But the second word of that definition of the word folly was foolish. Now, we all understand foolish, don't we? I mean, I'll just ask the question, is there anybody in here who has never done a foolish thing? I didn't think any hands would go up. We have all done things that are foolish in our lives at one time or another. But what about foolishness from a spiritual standpoint? You know, David said in Psalm 14 and verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, you know, 50-plus years ago, you would look at someone who said there is no God and just immediately think that he was an idiot, because that was something that you did not say in public back in those days. Now, they shout it out that they do not believe that there is a God. In fact, there are organizations that promote the fact that there is no God, and they will attack you because you believe that there is a God. But David says, the fool has said, there is no God. Paul gives us an example of spiritually foolish people in Romans chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God nor give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. So this is what the scriptures tell us about the folly of sin. It's a foolish thing. And people practiced it in the days of the Apostle Paul, and people practice that today in our society as well. And then there's that third word that was the definition for the word folly, and that was unprofitable. And again, let's go back to the prodigal son. The prodigal son found out in a very hard way, sin is a bad investment, because he got out into that far country and he lost everything that he had. I'd like for us to consider how that happened. What caused that to happen to that young man? Isaiah gives that answer in Isaiah 59. And you hear me use this verse a lot in my lessons. Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy, so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. This is what the folly of sin will do to you. And the prodigal son found out the hard way. He wound up in a pig pen feeding the hogs and eating the food that he was giving to them. That's what the folly of sin will do to you. So we need to take heed of this first verse of the psalm. There is folly to sin. And the psalm says that we as children of God, we as Christians, have resigned from the folly of sin. Now, the second verse of this psalm declares that as Christians, we have freedom. We have freedom in Christ. Now the verse actually says, and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. You see, there's one thing the author of this song actually knew, and he knew it from the scriptures that he had studied, is that sin enslaves. It enslaves all of us. And we have all been enslaved by sin. Jesus, in speaking to the Jews in John chapter 8, beginning with verse 33, he is talking to the Jews here who are trying to convince him that they're fine. And they said, we are Abraham's offspring, and we have never been enslaved to anyone, which was an absolute lie, because we know the Jews had been enslaved basically their whole life to someone, right? We have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you shall become free? And then Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. So there we have it. We are enslaved in sin. But the thing of it is, Christ's blood can set us free from this bondage of sin. Now let's move on over to verse 36 of John chapter 8. And we'll hear Jesus say, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. So we know how to get out of this folly of sin, don't we? It is through the blood of Jesus Christ that offers us a freedom that we could not have any other way. But even though we are free from sin, we need to understand that we are still servants of God. We are still bound to obedience to God and His will. According to the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 6, after being freed from the bondage of sin, we are to be servants of righteousness. He said, thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed, and having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. But doesn't that sound better? To be a slave of God rather than a slave of the devil? We are free because Jesus purchased our pardon on Calvary. And we are now slaves of righteousness, which means that through our goodness and through our Christianity, we will someday have complete freedom from sin and the awful effects of it. This is what verse 2 is trying to tell us in our song. And then we have verse 3. This song talks about our future home. In mansions of glory, it says, and endless delight. Doesn't that just sound good? Mansions of glory, endless delight. Listen, friends, heaven is a real place. Jesus spoke of it many times. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. He says, heaven is a place where the treasure is actually real. Do not lay up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So we need to be sure that our heart is where the true treasure is, and that, of course, is in Jesus Christ. He even goes on to tell us that he's preparing a place for us so that we can have that for all eternity. John 14, beginning with verse 2, in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Isn't that wonderful? This mansion of glory is being made for us right now. Then this tells us that it is an eternal place as well. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 14. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive will remain and shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort yourselves with these words. We find comfort in these words because we know that this is for us. His second coming is for us, so that we can live in all eternity with Him forever. That's what this song is trying to tell us. This is what the Scripture is trying to tell us. This wonderful day when we resign from the follies of sin, when we look to God as our Savior for our salvation, it should make us love our Lord that much more. And every time we sing the song, "My Jesus, I love Thee," we need to think about how foolish sin really is. And we need to think about the freedom that we have because we are no longer bound by this foolish thing called sin. And we need to think about that future home that is going to be so wonderful. And it's going to be us, for us, and it's going to be forever. So, my Jesus, I love Thee. I ask you tonight, my friends, do you love your Jesus? Do you love Him enough to obey Him tonight? If you're not a Christian, do you love Him enough to give your life to Him through obedience to the gospel of Christ? So that you can serve Him, so that you can put away the folly of sin, so that you can have this freedom that comes from being in Christ, knowing that the future that you hold is eternal life. Aaron Christian, do you love Jesus enough to come back to Him? Because even though you had all of these things for one reason or the other, you've lost all of these things. But the Lord tells us that you can have them again if you will come back to Him, change your life, put away that folly again, and you will find freedom again, and you will find that wonderful eternal home in heaven. You need to come back to Him. You need to respond to the invitation. Please come while we stand and sing this song.